हरि ओम सहना ववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
Hey, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 4, The Confidential Reasons for Lord Chaitanya's Appearance, page 93. The acts of Yoga Maya make it possible for the Lord and the gopis, in loving ecstasy, to sometimes meet and sometimes separate. These transcendental loving affairs of the Lord are unimaginable to empiricists involved in the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth. Therefore, the Lord Himself appears before the mundaners to bestow upon them the highest form of spiritual realization and also personally relish its essence. Right? Because they're not going to understand, so unless the Lord comes and shows by some aspect, they're not going. It won't be caught because it's beyond their purview. Right? The Lord is so merciful that He Himself descends to take the fallen souls back home to the kingdom of Godhead, where the erotic principles of Godhead are eternally relished in their real form. Distinct from the perverted sexual love so much adored and indulged in by the fallen souls in their diseased condition. The reason the Lord displays the Rasa Lila is essentially to induce all the fallen souls to give up their diseased morality and religiosity and to attract them to the kingdom of God to enjoy the reality. A person who actually understands that the Rasa Lila will a person who actually understands what the Rasa Lila is will certainly hate to indulge in mundane sex life. For the realized soul, hearing the Lord's Rasa Lila through the proper channel will result in complete abstinence from material sexual pleasure. Because you're going beyond the material concept of trying to control the material energy, trying to enjoy the material energy. So that can't be understood even by the, like it says, by the empiricists, because for them it's still a matter of enjoyment. Even though it may be not the seemingly the aspects of karma, but it's still following in through the realm of material. Right? It's still mundane. And so they can't actually understand the transcendental, what's beyond. Right? So then people have their own sense of morality, their own sense of religiosity. Right? And then these, as Prabhupada says, diseased, because it's not in connection with Krishna. Right? The attachments that are there are not in connection with Krishna. When we bring things in line with Krishna, then things go to their natural state. So Krishna Himself then comes to display His pastimes so that we may appreciate that.
Yes? Master, we said that we appreciate because Krishna is very attractive.
Yes, He's very attractive.
And we lose our material taste.
Yes. Means attractive means that there's not just, it means the attractive, but there's a taste in that attractiveness.
Yes.
Right? And that taste is what will bring us away. Because you start to compare. Just like
yes.
if I give you two
yes.
things to eat,
yes.
you can compare them.
Yes.
Right? Because the one we're already eating.
Yes.
Then the other, then you taste that through the proper methods of following in the footsteps of the instructions given by the acharyas.
Yes.
Then following that, then we start to, we, as the heart gets purified, we get a taste.
Yes. Yes.
Then you can compare.
Yes. Yes.
Right? So that's why then probably says, they will certainly hate to indulge in the mundane.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. They will definitely move beyond that because it is so much more, because it's not on this material plane. It's the erotic principles of Godhead.
Yes.
Relished, eternally relished in their real form. Because
yes.
it's about the mood of rasa. It's about the mood of the excellence of the affection between the Lord and the devotee.
Mm-hmm.
And then the form is used.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Lord Krishna continued thinking. Pure attachment will unite us even at the expense of moral and religious duties, dharma. Destiny will sometimes bring us together and sometimes separate us. Srila Prabhupada. The gopis came out to meet Krishna in the dead of night when they heard the sound of his flute. Srila Rupa Goswami has accordingly composed a nice verse that describes the beautiful boy called Govinda standing by the bank of the Jamuna with his flute to his lips in the shining moonlight. Those who want to enjoy life in the materialistic way of society, friendship, and love should not go to the Jamuna to see the form of Govinda. The sound of Lord Krishna's flute is so sweet that it has made the gopis forget all about their relationships with their kinsmen and flee to Krishna in the dead of night. Because they have all the facility, and these facilities are nice. You have to remember, they're in the spiritual world, so the secondary arrangements are good. But you don't have any of the anomalies that you have here. And they're willing to leave that when they hear Krishna's flute. Does that make sense? So that relationship is so much more important than these secondary aspects. That's why they're saying they're going to pure attachment will unite us even at the expense of moral and religious duties. Destiny will sometimes bring us together and sometimes separate us. Because they will be united through this pure attachment. So for them it doesn't matter. It's this way, it's that way. It gives a different flavor. Right? It means you want to be together, but at the same time as when you're separate, you are together. And so then that just enhances being together. By leaving home in that way, the gopis transgress the Vedic regulations of household life. So that's what it means by moral and religious duties. This indicates that when natural feelings of love for Krishna become fully manifest, the devotee can neglect conventional societal rules and regulations. Right? Because they're only for they're as secondary support to the primary of loving Krishna. So if you have in that position where one's engaged in exchange with Krishna, then these secondary rules, if they're not in support of it, then other aspects will be used. Does that make sense? So, yeah. So, does that make sense? It means we're taking the social rules and regulations, then that's the important part. But that's only important because it gives us good results. But it's still giving secondary results. In other words, if you deal with the secondary appropriately, you get good secondary results. But the point is that the secondary activities and their results are simply meant for service to Krishna. So if one set of secondary rules and regulations and results is not applying, another one is. Right? But we're specifically, we want certain ones and this and that, our conditioning is so. We don't understand that it's about Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
My ear is the primary never change. The primary is always the same.
The primary is, that's why it's Sthayi Bhava. Because it's fixed. So the gopis in this way, the gopis mood with Krishna is fixed. And Krishna's reciprocation with them, that position is fixed. The variety of taste that they exchange in that process, that will have unlimited variety. But it's still the same principal aspect. In the material world, we are situated in designated positions only. Pure devotional service begins when one is freed from all designations. Right? So you're just engaging your position in Krishna's service. Does that make sense? And however it's a support of Krishna's service, that's what's useful. What's not useful, then that's not what's used. When love for Krishna is awakened, the designated positions are overcome. So it's just about following the path of that affection for Krishna. But it's not a feeling just by coming by the modes of nature. It's a feeling coming from love and where it flows. It's just like if water's flowing downhill, it will move according where it moves. some obstacle there, it goes around, it's something, you know, this way it turns, it goes. So it's following its own natural path. So this love for Krishna follows its natural path. And so therefore, then the various rules and regulations that are there, which ones are the ones to be used for Krishna, that's what's used, and which ones aren't. So that's why they're beyond the rules and regulations. For us, they're rules and regulations because we're not beyond. Is that what's meant by? Here in the material classroom. Yes, you have these designations that we're this particular body, we're a particular subtle body, it has these particular natures, therefore we're situated in these particular ways, we have these particular duties, and so we're identifying with them, that's why we're doing them. You understand? While in the devotees, they're identifying with service to Krishna, as servants of Krishna. And therefore, then the external forms that match that, that's what they do. But you're not going to find Mother Jashoda out there, you know, playing, you know, what do you call it? Leapfrog with the cowherd boys out in the forest. Because that doesn't match her mood. Right? Her mood, she'll move in a certain field. But in that field, the variety is unlimited. Just like the cowherd boys, they'll move in their field, but it's unlimited. So when the acharyas talk about that they go and they play in this way or that way, they're showing some of the ways they play. So there's so many things that they can do. Because you can take anything and mix it up and do all kinds of things with it and like that. Plus, it's about the interaction with Krishna. So these things are as good as they're useful for the interaction. Does that make sense? Just like, let's say, you have some friends come over, you have some plans for things to do. But in the meantime, you start up this conversation, it's really nice, and you keep talking, you do none of those things you plan to do. So now do you feel it was a bad night, we didn't do what we planned? No. Why? Because it followed the mood that was there between those individuals. You understand? So that's what they're talking about here, is that when it's about Krishna, you'll follow that. Otherwise, if we have these designations, we'll follow those designations. Does that make sense? So, here we see the acharyas. Socially, they'll follow the designations of their body and position. But it's not them. They're only doing that in service to Krishna. And then sometimes they'll be able to do them nicely and sometimes not. You know what I'm saying? But it's not that they're not doing them because of some whimsical action that's actually based on their designations. They're saying whimsicality is based on your designations. Spontaneous devotional service, that's based on the soul. So it's different. The spontaneous attraction of Sri Krishna for his dearest parts and parcels generates an enthusiasm that obliges Sri Krishna and the gopis to meet together. To celebrate this transcendental enthusiasm, there is need of a sentiment of separation between the lover and beloved. Right? Because to meet, you have to be separated. Right? Because the meeting is so special. That, you know, because we're saying, no, sambhog is the main. But the point is, without separation, how do you have sambhog? Right? And why would sambhog mean anything unless there's separation? Right? So separation means there has to be some bog, otherwise how are you separated? And meeting means you have to be separated to meet. So the two go together. You see it's mentioned here. Destiny will sometimes bring us together and sometimes separate us. Yeah, and in the previous page, Prabhupada said, the acts of Yoga Maya make it possible for the Lord and the gopis in loving ecstasy to sometimes meet and sometimes separate. So she makes it possible. So it's part of the position, it's part of it's part of the taste, it's part of the service. And then as Prabhu mentioned this morning, that remember this came up, was it last year? Or year before? Last year was 11th canto, 11 and 12. I think it was more the year before, but I think some the last year, but it started the year before. So when we were talking about it, comes up these aspects of the separation of the gopis and all that, and we were kind of doubting that, why would Krishna do this? Why is this so nice? And what was the point you made this morning?
Because some bhog, it's nice, but in separation, it appears to us as a suffering. But
yes,
for
yes.
The residents of Vrindavan, it's all bliss.
Yes.
We just project our own, and then it's really difficult to understand.
Yes, but then this morning Rupa Goswami was giving a point, and you said based on that point, that's why we were thinking like that. He was, remember, there was something to do with, remember, it was the point. No, we were actually talking tattva sandarbha. That's funny, isn't it? Well, sometimes we're talking Vedanta, so these really technical things would come up with this. You see,
well, it was about Aruchi, no?
Ruchi, but there was something that there's...
That we do the conscious endeavor, that we have to be engaged. That's why it's called Ruchi Spontaneous Attraction.
Yes.
And then instead of Asakti, it started from Ruchi or something. And then we said that according to one of their charities.
That it was...
Yes,
that
the
was
difference. It was... It, we never... We considered Bhava spontaneous, but it was a sakti or something. And
yes.
You said that in the beginning it's a conscious endeavor, but otherwise then it becomes... And then you said that if from here, for us, conscious endeavor, it looks like it's very much above, but from there it's below.
Below, yes, yes. Yeah, because we have to make that conscious, then we think, wow, we're advancing. I'm conscious, I'm doing it.
Yes.
But there's... But there was this, no, it was one other point connected with, means those were all there, and that all added to it. But then Prabhu brought that together with this thing of, it was talking about the moralists, how they look at something. They judge it by two things.
Oh no, that was yesterday.
That was yesterday?
Yeah.
Really?
Yesterday was Wednesday.
Means
Tuesday. So absorbed. Yeah, there was a thing that the moralists from those say, when you remove distress and obstacles, then they'll consider that that's the goal of the religious process. And then you had made the point is that's how we were looking at it. That's why we would say, why would they do that? Because we would be considering this as an obstacle and it's causing distress and things like this.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like that. So, how you say, being distracted by that kind of thing. That's why he says giving up even at the expense of moral and religious duties. So when we look at it from this moralistic position or the religious position, then the difficulty is then we're looking at it for what is the exactness of the mechanics of the particular activity. Right? Because we're saying, oh, they're married girls, they're leaving their homes, this is irreligious. Okay. So, but then the whole point is if we're looking at it from, I do my religious duties in the home perfectly, what's going to be the result of that? Right? You're going to...
Happiness.
Yes, there's going to be some happiness there, but also then, from us on this platform, then you can go to the heavenly planets or things like that. So, what they're doing is immoral because you're not going to get to the heavenly planets by doing that. But the gopis aren't interested in getting to the heavenly planets. They want to go to Krishna, because he's the ashraya of everything. Right? So, it's you're functioning on a different level here. Is that it's about Krishna and those religious activities, because secondary means religious, right? In this case.
Yes.
And so which aspects are important for that particular thing that it accomplished means pleasing Krishna, that interaction with Krishna, that's what you use. Like in the kitchen, depending on what you want to do, that's what particular utensils you use or particular technique you use. Right? And does that make sense? Or you can say the technique, therefore the utensils. Right? So, depending upon what is the thing that you're trying to do, it changes. So some people are attached to one thing, some to another. But the point is it's about what pleases Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not the ones to say. They know. So we follow those who know what they know. Okay. Really, that was Tuesday.
Today, I think, after I left, those learned in scriptures define the goals of life as the destruction of suffering and the attainment of happiness. They try to understand if the Prema Bhaktas have achieved these two goals of life by looking at their external appearance. But these Prema Bhaktas internally experience happiness and distress only from achieving or not achieving the Lord.
Yeah. I thought it was in relation to this that you said
that. That was today.
That was today. Yeah, that you made the comment that that's why previously
we were
thinking that we couldn't understand because we were looking at it, what is it, destruction of distress and attainment of happiness. So we're taking it, the happiness means that we're with Krishna, or there's no feelings of separation. Because here the feelings of separation are a disturbance. But there they're not, because they're about Krishna. Right? Because even here, if we look at it, our happiness means is also a disturbance. But we'll call that's what we're looking for. Because otherwise, what do you look for? Right? But on the material platform, both happiness and distress are both a problem. But on the spiritual platform, they're not, because they're both connected to Krishna. And here, they're both a problem because they're not connected to Krishna. So I thought that was a very good point. Okay. To celebrate this transcendental enthusiasm, you know, of spontaneous attraction, there's a need of a sentiment of separation between the lover and beloved. In the condition of material tribulation, no one wants the pangs of separation. But in the transcendental form, the very same separation, being absolute in its nature, strengthens the ties of love and enhances the desire of the lover and beloved to meet. Right? So it increases their enthusiasm to meet, and when they meet, then the happiness that they experience is way more than before. The periods of separation evaluated transcendentally is more relishable than the actual meeting, which lacks the feelings of increased anticipation because the lover and beloved are both present. Right? So that anticipation makes something very... Right? But in the spiritual world, there's no gap between the anticipation and the actual attainment. You understand? But once you've attained, there's no anticipation. Right? So you don't have that. So that's why then the Vipralamba has that extra added is more relishable, but the point is that they will be together, because that is also that's the point, is being together. But the separation, because it makes it more, it increases the level of sambhog when they do come together. Does that make sense? Yeah.
On this point, Deva Goswami defines like that, having that anticipation and next meeting the Lord as a different stage from first time meeting the Lord. You have heard about the Lord.
Yes.
And then meeting the Lord. Right. And that stage is called Siddha.
Yes.
And then having seen the Lord and having that anticipation mood, and then again meeting the Lord, is called a stage of Ruda.
Okay.
So this is only discussed in relation with Raj Bhakti, because...
Yeah, other places then, the Shanta, then there's no separation because everything's Lord and there's no possession, so they're comfortable wherever they are. Yeah, and Vaikuntha, once they go there, that's the whole point, is basically below Braj, no one wants to any of that. That's why liberation is there. You're always with the Lord, you have the same facility, all these different things. But here, that's the thing of Braj, is it can have this and increase more dynamically. Well, the other one will increase steadily. You know, it's unlimited, so it will nicely increase. But it doesn't have the dynamic aspect that the other does.
And also, I think in this same connection, there was a verse from Bhagavatam that I come to mitigate the sufferings of my devotees. There's a verse. Then Jiva Goswami questions, the devotees, they're already devotees. What is the suffering for them in the material world? Actually, there is no suffering, material suffering for the devotees. The only suffering for a devotee is his being away from the Lord. So Lord, again coming in the connection, that removes their pain from being separated from the Lord.
Yes, so it's a whole different
perspective.
So we have our perspective, we start there, and from that perspective, then the acharyas and Krishna, then they give us how we can see that perspective connected to Krishna.
Yes.
Then we keep going until it comes to the point where you start to see the perspective as is being experienced by those who are in the spiritual world. You know? So it's like this, we get a glimmer of it. Mm-hmm. And so then that's the inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, yeah. Rudra. Yeah, because you have Yoga Rudra and Yoga Ruruksha. So Ruruksha is the first stage. So that's like Siddha. Okay. Or Rudra would be even before. Then there's Siddha. When you come to that, but then once being there, then there's Rudra.
And all the Anubhavas and Sanchari Bhavas are explained in relation with the two different stages. From the Siddha state and Rudra state.
Oh, really? The same ones have different effects?
Yeah.
Okay.
Coming up.
Yes, some fun. And that's in where?
Prema.
Preeti Sandha. Huh?
Preeti
Sandha.
State 2.
State 2, yes. Yes, so we see is that that point of that Purva Rag, then Jiva Goswami is defining that that's Siddha. So that's when you say that the Surup Siddhi is when it's actually come to that position. Like that. So, yeah. Lord Krishna concluded thinking, I shall taste the essence of all these rasas, and in this way I shall favor all the devotees. Then, by hearing about the pure love of the residents of Braja, devotees will worship me on the path of spontaneous love, abandoning all rituals of religiosity and fruitive activity. Right? Because here's the religiosity, the fruitive activity. It's about doing the right thing, getting the right benefit, and all things like that. They're going to abandon that. They're only going to perform activities to please Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. Many realized souls, such as Raghunath Das Goswami and King Kulashekara, have recommended with great emphasis that one develop the spontaneous love of Godhead, even at the risk of transgressing all the traditional codes of morality and religiosity. Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, has written in his prayers called the Manasiksha that one should simply worship Radha Krishna with all attention. Na dharmam, na dharmam, na dharmam, Shruti Gana Niruptam Kila Kuru. One should not be much interested in performing Vedic rituals or simply following the rules and regulations. Right? So you're giving that up for prema. You're not giving up the rules and regulations to whimsically follow whatever you like to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So we have to be very careful that that's not how we're using it. Right? King Kulashekara has written similarly in his book Mukunda Mala Stotra 5. Quote, I have no attraction for performing religious rituals or holding any earthly kingdom. I do not care for sense enjoyments. Let them appear and disappear in accordance with my previous deeds. That means that it's not that they don't come, it's no, I have to suffer and everything. No, it's just a matter of I'm not interested. If it comes up, it's nice, fine. If it's not nice, fine. My only desire is to be fixed in devotional service to the lotus feet of the Lord, even though I may continue to take birth here, life after life. Because if you're absorbed in the Lord, then where you're located doesn't matter. Right? So that's why this aspect of liberation, because liberation, no, you don't want this, but you want a specific results. So the whole thing we talk about going back to Godhead is because of this element of pleasing to Krishna. Because Lord Chaitanya, then he said that point there, right? Where is it? what he's saying. Can we just mute now? Can we just read that? Or you read somewhere else. Yeah. Where Krishna is saying that he'll display all these things and then take everyone back to Godhead. Can we just read that? Did we read that earlier in the day?
Yesterday?
Yesterday, yes.
It's too much happening during the day.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But otherwise, at some point, we says, because Lord Chaitanya is coming to take everyone, give them that taste of that, to go in that, and to go back to Godhead. Right? So he's going to do that. But the devotee is simply, he's interested in serving Krishna. So if Krishna wants to arrange like that, that pleases Krishna, then he goes there. And if not, he doesn't. That's his move. But you're qualifying yourself to be on that platform.
Oh, it's 93.
Huh?
Just at the bottom. 93. You started from there, where you... Thing is,
yeah, that's what he said.
The Lord is so merciful.
Oh, yeah.
So descends to take
the fallen souls back home to the kingdom. Of Lord. Yeah. So today, okay. Not yesterday. Yes. Yeah. Same. Oh, yes. Krishna, then text 34. Krishna manifests his eternal human-like form and performs his pastimes to show mercy to the devotees. Having heard such pastimes, one should engage in service to him. Srila Prabhupada. This text is from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.33.36. Special natural appreciation of the descriptions of a particular pastime of Godhead indicates the constitutional position of a living entity. Adoration, servitorship, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love are the five primary relationships with Krishna, the highest perfectional stage of the conjugal relationship, enriched with many sentiments, gives the maximum relishable mellow to a devotee. Okay, so, they're showing all this, but it says, special natural appreciation of the descriptions of a particular pastime of Godhead indicates the constitutional position. So, whatever is the natural appreciation, that then is indicative of the position. But he's showing that all these are there, and then you have that highest perfectional stage in the conjugal relationship. Right? Because it has so many, the maximum amount of all the sentiments and everything is there. Right? The Lord appears in different incarnations as a fish, tortoise, and boar. As Parasaram, Lord Buddha, Lord Ram, Buddha, and so on. To reciprocate the different appreciations of living entities in different stages of evolution. The conjugal relationship of amorous love called Parakya Rasa is the unparalleled perfection of love exhibited by Lord Krishna and his devotees. Right? So, we want to make sure that someone's not avoiding it because it may not seem like it's in a, you know, just by social moods and different things like that. So, it's defined. It's the unparalleled position. So, it's brought out that it is. And then in that, if one has attraction there, then that's where one naturally puts one's attention. Right? And if not, wherever else one does, then that's fine. Because the point is it doesn't matter. If there's some preparation you like the best, and I'm talking about somebody other preparation as the best, it doesn't matter for you. You know what I'm saying? If you like New York pizza, and I'm talking about California pizza and how fabulous it is, you know, it's got this wonderful, all these fresh things on it, and steamed broccoli, and other salad things, and all that. But you like New York pizza, it doesn't matter how much I say it's fabulous. Yeah? No? Yes? You've seen California pizza?
No.
Okay. It's just take a pizza and put salad on top of it. A class of so-called devotees known as Sahajiyas try to imitate the Lord's pastimes, although they have no understanding of the amorous love in his expansions of pleasure potency. Their superficial imitation can create havoc on the path of advancement of one's spiritual relationship with the Lord. Material sex indulgence can never be equated with spiritual love, which is in unadulterated goodness. Right? So it's beyond. So the point is that a married couple is engaged in sexual activities for having children, then that has that position of goodness to it. So, but the thing is the drive and all that, you have the passion that is there, desire, and you also have the bodily identity that have ignorance. So the gopis and their relationship with Krishna, it's on pure goodness. So it doesn't have any of these lower aspects to it. So this simply, this aspect of the sahaji is engaging in mundane sex life and then saying somehow or another is connected to the Lord and his conjugal pastimes there. Is this totally bogus? Right. So one has to be very, very careful. The activities of the sahajiyas simply lower one deeper into the material contamination of the senses and mind. Krishna's transcendental pastimes display eternal servitorship to Adhoksija, the Supreme Lord, who is beyond all conceptions through material senses. Materialistic conditioned souls do not understand the transcendental exchanges of love, but they like to indulge in sense gratification in the name of devotional service. The activities of the Supreme Lord can never be understood by irresponsible persons who think the pastimes of Radha and Krishna to be ordinary affairs. The rasa dance is arranged by Krishna's internal potency, Yoga Maya, and it is beyond the grasp of the materially affected person. Trying to throw mud into transcendence with their perversity, the sahajiyas misinterpret the sayings tat paratvena nirmalam, Chaitanya Charitamrita 19.170, and tat paro bhavet. By misinterpreting tadrishi kridaha, they want to indulge in sex while pretending to imitate Lord Krishna. Right. So in other words, as you have Vedanta Sutra and Upanishadic quotations that the Mayavadis take and misinterpret. So then here we have the Sahajiyas have, sutras from the Chaitanya Charitamrita that they misinterpret and come up with their own methods. Right? Yeah, why not? Or maybe they're coming from somewhere. Chaitanya Charitamrita is mentioning them at least. But yeah, they're Gaudiya. They consider themselves Gaudiyas, so they're followers of Lord Chaitanya. You know, that's why they do kirtan and everything. But their emphasis is on this relationship with Radha and Krishna and that kind of stuff. And then they consider that they, yeah, they're kind of like, yeah, it's weird. But one must actually understand the imports of the words through the intelligence of the authorized Goswamis. Srila Narottam Das Thakur, in his prayers to the Goswamis, has explained his inability to understand such spiritual affairs. Right? So you can only understand through the imports of the words through the intelligence of the authorized Goswamis. In other words, things are said in the scriptures, the Lord says things, pastimes are there, then we can only understand that through the intelligence of the given to us by the authorized Goswamis. Yes. How they give it to us, that's the actual thing. So that's why we have to be very, very careful. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So you can see is that in all what we've seen in the up to now, when they're talking about this higher level of devotional service, bhava and all that, you can see is that that's where they're talking about the actual real rag is. Mm-hmm. Before that, you have some aspect that can come in at ruchi and asakti. They're talking about that. That's there. You can go through sadhana that has that and go into, or if not, then you go through, you're trying to attain that, but you haven't, then you attain it at bhava. Mm-hmm. Right? So they're talking, it can be these aspects below because of Krishna's mercy. Mm-hmm. But the emphasis is not there. The emphasis is on rati. You understand? But we'll have a tendency to put the emphasis on the Madhyama platform, bringing it to Nishta, which Rupa Goswami says, after Anartha Nivriti. So, Anishta is after Anartha Nivriti, so there can be a glimmer. But it doesn't have its nice manifestation until Rati. Because there you've given up the material platform, you're on the Brahma Bhuta, so that's Anartha Nivriti. you know, you can say it's complete then. So then, you know, or at least complete enough that it takes on rati. It's not enough for bhava. More has to go. But it's enough that it'll come up there. So it's a matter of, as it goes, it naturally comes up. It's not something that you need to cultivate separately. Does that make sense? You know, it's just something that just happens. But we'll have a tendency to do there. And I've even had once trying to show how it starts down in the neophyte. But the problem of the neophyte, they're called prakriti for a reason. Because they tend to project all the material things onto it. It's like this, you know, what's going on here. So even though it's something that could happen at a lower stage, its main thing is just this higher. But that's not discussed. It's always how it can be done, practiced lower. Does that make sense?
Yes. I think in the commentary to Jvala Nilamani there, Jiva Goswami gives very long purpose to establish how it is not mundane, the rasa dance and other activities, especially to show that gopis never had children, even apparently where they mentioned they're taking care of their children and other things.
Yes.
Establish it's their sisters or
yes,
children.
Yes, it's the co-wives, their children.
So mainly he has to go through the extra endeavor to explain because of the sahajiyas and all, using those verses as...
Oh, these verses here, yes. Okay. Mm. Yes, that's why it's so carefully dealt, because otherwise we can so easily get distracted. Like that. Does that make sense? We tend to make issues out of something. It's like it could happen. Right? But it's not a standard. It's not something you preach about. It's not something you create a practice for. Does that make sense? You understand the thing, and by hearing, like says Krishna, special natural appreciation of the descriptions of a particular pastime of Godhead indicates the constitutional position of the living entity. Prabhupada said right there, very clearly. Right? But that's, you know, I think this is the only time I've ever seen this directly said like this. So he'll have these things, one sentence somewhere that says this is the way it is, but it's not emphasized. Because the point is special natural appreciation means that it's come, natural appreciation means it's come from the purified heart. Is that, you know, means otherwise we go for it because, oh, it's the highest and I'm the best, so I got to have the best. Then that's not the... It doesn't mean that may not be ultimately one's position, but that can't be the drive.
Right? So, yeah. Maharaj, please to give up our own perspective and conditioning in order to...
Yes.
To be guided by the Acharya.
Yes, we have to give that up to be guided, and then through their guidance, that's how we'll actually overcome, and that's how we'll actually... you know, develop a taste in devotional service. Right? So that's why we stick so closely in their footsteps. You know, it means you're careful that you step exactly where they're walking. Because we don't exactly know. We know they've stepped there, and we're, you know, our ideas, as long as we're kind of close, it's all right. But you don't know, there may be something more there, and if we step a little off, we can end up going... You know what I'm saying? We're inexperienced. Like say you're going along and it's flat, that's one thing. But what happens if it's sloping? So if you don't step exactly, you step a little bit off, your weight goes off, you'll fall over. So that's why you're very careful to step exactly where they're stepping. Right? And that caution is important. Is it err on the side of caution? I think that's the term. You know, even if it's, you can say it's a mistake, it's too late, but better that than not, because who knows where you'll go. They know, we don't know. So, okay, Narottam Das Thakur, in his prayers to the Goswami, has explained his inability to understand such spiritual affairs. Quote, when I shall be eager to understand the literature given by the Goswamis, then I shall be able to understand the transcendental loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. In other words, unless one is trained under the disciplic succession of the Goswamis, one cannot understand Radha and Krishna. It's just that clear. So we can't get from... means others, that we may be, you know, in this and that, you know, you're spending time in India, you're moving around and this and that, we bump into all kinds of different people. And they may say something, it gives an indication of something, but the thing is if it's not seen in the context of the Goswamis, then we won't understand Radha and Krishna. But if it's seen in that context, then we may become aware of something. But then, you know, as we read from what they're saying, then we see. Just like we were saying, you know, we've read Chaitanya Charitamrita in the purports, especially Adi Leela, because generally when they do classes on in the temples, most of the time they're on Adi Leela, you know. So, you know, we've read. But then to be able to appreciate what's here, because we're hearing so much from the acharyas, then you start to see the subtler points that are there. Right? Yeah. The conditioned souls are naturally averse to understanding the spiritual existence of the Lord. And if they try to know the transcendent nature of the Lord's pastimes while they remain absorbed in materialism, they are sure to blunder like the Sahajiyas. Right? So that's why we're careful. Mm-hmm. Like that. Here the use of the word, the verb bhavet, which is in the imperative mood, tells us that this certainly must be done. Non-compliance would be abandonment of duty. Right? Text 35. Srila Prabhupada. This imperative is applicable to pure devotees. Neophytes will be able to understand these affairs only after being elevated by regulated devotional service under the expert guidance of the spiritual master. Then they too will be competent to hear of the love affairs of Radha and Krishna. As long as one is in material conditioned life, strict discipline is required in the matter of moral and immoral activities. The absolute world is transcendental and free from such distinctions because there inebriety is not possible. But in this material world, a sexual appetite necessitates distinction between moral and immoral conduct. There are no sexual activities in the spiritual world. The transactions between lover and beloved in the spiritual world are pure transcendental love and unadulterated bliss. Right? So it's not about, because the sexual activity means it's about the sense and the sense object and the experience from that. But Radha and Krishna, it's about they as individuals, as persons, their personalities interacting together. Does that make sense? And that is the basis. You know what I'm saying? It has the conjugal aspect because of the flavors, the moods, like this. But it's not about sexual activity. That's the whole point. That's not the draw. That's not the thing. You know, Krishna's not, oh, hey, I can dance with a bunch of girls. Because the point is that potency is his. It's already him. You know? So that's not the draw. The draw is the mood. That's there. The prema, that's the whole thing. Does that make sense?
And now from the material side,
it's the senses. Means that, in other words, it's the conjugal activities without the actual rasa, without the prema.
Yes, yes.
Means lust is there, so it appears that the whole thing is going in a very proper direction. But it's following the path of lust, not of love of Krishna.
Yes.
So therefore it's about the sexual activities, not about the love for Krishna.
Yes. Yes.
So it's very different.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying? One who has not been attracted by the transcendental beauty of rasa will certainly be dragged down into material attraction. Thus to act in material contamination and progress to the darkest region of hellish life. But by understanding the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, one is freed from the grip of attraction to so-called love between man and woman. Similarly, one who understands the pure parental rasa of Nanda and Yashoda for Krishna will be saved from being dragged into material parental affection. One accepts Krishna as the supreme friend, the attraction of material friendship will be finished for him, and he will not be dismayed by so-called friendship with mundane wranglers. If he is attracted by servitorship to Krishna, he will no longer have to serve the material body in the degraded status of material existence, with the false hope of becoming master in the future. Similarly, one who seeks the greatness of Krishna and neutrality will certainly never again seek the so-called relief of impersonalism or voidist philosophy. If one is not attracted by the transcendental nature of Krishna, one is sure to be attracted by to material enjoyment, thus to become implicated in the clinging network of virtuous and sinful activities, and to continue material existence by transmigrating from one material body to another. Only in Krishna consciousness can one achieve the highest perfection of life. Okay, so whatever one's looking for in the material world in relationship, then that it finds its perfection in Krishna. Text 36. Just as these desires are the fundamental reason for Krishna's appearance, whereas destroying the demons is only an incidental necessity, so for Sri Krishna Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, promulgating the Dharma of the age is incidental. When the Lord desired to appear for another reason, the time for promulgating the religion of the age also arose. So he wants to come for his purpose to taste. He means whatever is the internal, but the external forms, that time also came at the same time. So he can do both at once. When the Lord desired to... Thus, with two intentions, the Lord appeared with his devotees and tasted the nectar of prema with the congregational chanting of the holy name. Thus, he spread kirtan even among the untouchables. We don't have our guy here anymore. He wove a wreath of the holy name and prema, with which he garlanded the entire material world. In this way, assuming the sentiment of a devotee, he preached devotional service while practicing it itself. Because he wanted to taste, so he's practicing. At the same time as he's getting everyone else to taste also. Srila Prabhupada. But when Rupa Goswami met Lord Chaitanya, Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Prayag, Allahabad, he offered his respectful obeisances by submitting that Lord Chaitanya was more magnanimous than any other avatar of Krishna because he was distributing love of Krishna. Okay. Yeah, so that means he said that when he met Lord Chaitanya at that time. Significant verse. Yes. His mission was to enhance love of Godhead. In the human form of life, the highest achievement is to attain the platform of love of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya did not invent a system of religion, as people sometimes assume. Right? Because so they think he's created it. People say Prabhupada's created it. You know, Prabhupada just does his own thing, so we don't have to follow the Shastra. Or Prabhupada, you know, he created the four regulative principles, like this, that, so. But no, it's not. Says Lord Chaitanya did not invent a system of religion, as people sometimes assume. Religious systems are meant to show the existence of God, who is then generally approached as the cosmic order supplier. But Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's transcendental mission is to distribute love of Godhead to everyone. Anyone who accepts God as the Supreme can take to the process of chanting Hare Krishna and become a lover of God. Right? So even if someone's not following any other regulation, he's just chanting. You know, because he has that appreciation about the Supreme, then he will progress. He will be able to move forward. Anyone who accepts God as the Supreme can take to the process of chanting Hare Krishna and become a lover of God. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is the most magnanimous. This munificent broadcasting of devotional service is possible only for Krishna himself. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. Because only Krishna can give liberation. Only Krishna can. So, Lord Chaitanya has to be Krishna. So, this whole thing is others will think we've made it up because you don't follow all the technical rules they do. But the point is, those technical rules are get to the point to follow the Yuga Dharma, to develop love for God. So if you're already performing that aspect, then the other details will come as you get purified. Right? So you can move forward because of love for Krishna. Right? You also have the aspect is that you can move forward for love of Krishna, even though you're not following the rules. That's because the direct activities, the devotional service, are the most powerful. And so you get purified, you move forward. You have the other aspect is that unless you're purified, you can't follow those rules anyway. So we shouldn't be proud that, well, I'm above the rules. No, you're so far below the rules, you can't follow them. Therefore, you stick to the primary aspect. In other words, we're given the highest aspect because it's not dependent upon our conditioning. Like that. And so if you can stick just to that, then that's fine. But as soon as then, in the name of that, you start projecting your conditioning, then now we have something that's going to create a distraction from that development. Like that. But if we continue in it, we get purified, we see either the importance of how it's useful or how it can be engaged in Krishna service, or we're so nicely situated we can just continue in that very simple process. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has taught the philosophy of surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who has surrendered to the Supreme can make further progress by learning to love Him. Therefore, the Krishna conscious movement propagated by Lord Chaitanya is especially meant for those who are cognizant of the presence of the Supreme Godhead, the ultimate controller of everything. His mission is to teach people how to dovetail themselves into engagements of transcendental loving service. He is Krishna teaching his own service from the position of a devotee. The Lord's acceptance of the role of a devotee in the eternal form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is another of the Lord's wonderful features. The conditioned soul cannot reach the absolute personality of Godhead by his imperfect endeavor. And therefore it is wonderful that Lord Sri Krishna, in the form of Lord Gauranga, has made it easy for everyone to approach him. So our endeavor will be imperfect because we're conditioned. But by the grace of Lord Chaitanya, right, because only Krishna can save us. So Krishna coming as Lord Chaitanya, then he's making it easy that everybody now can attain. Right, because in the other ages you see, I mean, who can do the Pancharatrik worship? Right, people who are qualified in goodness. Mm-hmm. Who can do the Vinyagyas? Who can do meditation? Right, means it's literally the shortest period we hear of anybody doing meditation. Except for Dhruva Maharaj, that's 6 months. But everybody else is 10,000 to 60,000 years. Like that. So who's doing that? Do you understand? But in Kali Yuga, everybody can take part. So that's the specialty. That's why he's most magnificent, most munificent.
Now, here he says that when you surrender,
you're supreme,
and then you can get the
blood. Yeah, you have to surrender. See, the point is you can take part in the process even if you haven't. But if you actually want to develop that positive, in other words, if we take up performing devotional activities in the association of devotees and we haven't surrendered, we're getting purified. That's a gyatra sukriti. So the heart's being purified, we're moving forward, we're progressing. We're moving up in the modes and moving up in the levels of consciousness like this. But at some point, then we have to consciously surrender to the order of the spiritual master and follow that and dedicate our life to that. Mm-hmm. At that point, that's why it says, then Krishna takes the living entity serious. Mm-hmm. It's because of that attitude of surrender. So does that make sense? Yeah. And then Krishna's given this process. So when that's there, then now you see the positive point of developing the side towards prema. Because one, you're giving up the attachments that keep you from developing prema, and the other is that you're cultivating towards prema. That's why we're always favorable towards Krishna and favorable towards the acharyas and their instructions. One, they'll be purify us, but it develops us because our relationship is with them. So we're not taking that seriously, we're moving about as we like, you know, and this and that. Then the difficulty comes up is that how are we going to be connected to these personalities that are connected to Krishna? Mm-hmm. Because there is no such thing in the spiritual world where it's going to be us and Krishna. Yeah? Does that make sense? Yeah. It's always going to be we're serving the servants of the servants. And that, then that way your Krishna notices. Then you have that taste of that closeness with Krishna. Sarup Damodar Goswami has described Lord Chaitanya as Krishna himself with the attitude of Radharani, or a combination of Radha and Krishna. The intention, yeah, you know, and you can take it. Means Sarup Damodar's Lalita, she knows who Radharani is, knows who Krishna is, so if he says that this is Krishna himself with the attitude of Radharani, you know, and therefore you can see it's Radha and Krishna, take it that he knows what he's talking about. The intention of Lord Chaitanya is to taste Krishna's sweetness in transcendental love. He does not care to think of himself as Krishna because he wants the position of Radharani. We should remember this. A class of so-called devotees called the Nadia Nagaris or Gora Nagaris, or sometimes here locally Goranga Nagaris, yes, like that, pretend that they have the sentiment of gopis towards Lord Chaitanya. But they do not realize that he placed himself not as the enjoyer of Krishna, but as the enjoyed, the devotee of Krishna. So they're even amongst the upper sampradayas, they're considered outcasts. Even the sahajiyas don't like these guys. You know? Like that. You know, like we saw before, the nishadas, the chandalas, and all them. Then you have the swapachas and all that. Then you have the antavasayins. All the outcasts consider them outcasts, right? So they're like that. So they're just totally off. The concoctions of unauthorized persons pretending to be bona fide have not been accepted by Lord Chaitanya. Presentations such as those of the Gora Nagaris are only disturbances to the sincere execution of the mission of Lord Chaitanya. But Chaitanya is undoubtedly Krishna himself, and he is always non-different from Srimati Radharani. But the emotion, technically called Vipralamba Bhava, which the Lord adopted for confidential reasons, should not be disturbed in the name of service. A mundane, you know, that we're just serving Krishna. No, but the point is he's adopted this mood. So we see here this mood that the deity has accepted. We have to respect that. Does that make sense? So it comes up, you know, for us, we don't generally have this problem. Some do. But it's just like when Krishna is Nrisingadeva, he has a particular mood. Right? So we respect that. It's his mood. Yeah. And so we don't want to adjust that. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. A mundaner should not unnecessarily intrude into affairs of transcendence and thereby displease the Lord. Right? Because you can't project yourself into these things. Because who wants, you know. Yeah. One must always be on guard against this sort of devotional anomaly. A devotee is not meant to create disturbances to Krishna. As Srila Rupa Goswami has explained, devotional service is anukulyena, or favorable to Krishna. Acting unfavorably towards Krishna is not devotion. Kamsa was the enemy of Krishna. He always thought of Krishna, but he thought of him as an enemy. One should always avoid such unfavorable so-called service, right? Because he's meditating on Krishna 24 hours a day. So you could say, is that service? But it's unfavorable service. So he called so-called service. But, does that make sense? Or in the thing of, it came up, I don't know, when was that? When was the peacock feather thing with Lord Chaitanya? That was 90s or 80s? 90s? Yeah, so there's that, because we always had Lord Chaitanya wearing a peacock feather, right? Just like you see Nrisingadeva wearing a peacock feather in all the old paintings. If it's Krishna, he's wearing a peacock feather because he wears a peacock feather. So then when it was challenged, then devotees would say, no, he wears a peacock feather because he's Krishna. You know, and Krishna wears a peacock feather. But then the point comes up, no, but his mood's different. You know, that of Radharani. So therefore, then why he shouldn't wear a peacock feather? But the point is it's not that he's not wearing, the peacock feather is not there because he's thinking he's Krishna. It's just that he is, that's what he does, because we see also in the pastime where that first, intimation of his coming as Lord Chaitanya is that there's that pastime where he's sitting there, I think it's in Imlitala.
Yes.
And then there, when Radharani comes, Krishna's golden. And then, what is this? And he was thinking about this mood, but he was still there. He had his peacock feather, so what's the problem? You know what I'm saying? So it gets too much one way or the other. And then if you take it there, okay, it's Radharani. But Radharani wears peacock feathers. You have to remember is that Krishna wears a peacock feather because he was defeated by Radharani in the form of a peacock. That means he has, you know, one or two or three peacock feathers. She's got the whole tail. She's the peacock. So if she wears a peacock feather, what's the big deal? You know? Like that. And Prabhupada mentioned when you're dressing, because they asked if she could wear peacock feathers. The Prabhupada says sometimes, not all the time. Krishna always wears, but Radharani sometimes. Does that make sense? So you know, that way we've never had any difficulty with anybody, any Vishnu Tattva wearing a peacock feather. Right? So, yeah. So when we take it too strongly and make it, then the secondary thing becomes too strong. It becomes out of balance. And so then there's always a difficulty. Does that make sense? Lord Chaitanya has accepted the role of Radharani, and we should support that position, as Srup Dharmadhar did in the Gambhira, the room where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in Puri. He always reminded Lord Chaitanya of Radha's feelings of separation as they are described in Srimad Bhagavatam. And Lord Chaitanya appreciated his assistance. But the Gaura Nagaris, who placed Lord Chaitanya in the position of enjoyer and themselves as his enjoyed, are not approved by Lord Chaitanya or by Lord Chaitanya's followers. Instead of being blessed, the foolish imitators are left completely apart. Their concoctions are against the principles of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The doctrine of transcendental enjoyment by Krishna cannot be mixed up with the doctrine of transcendental feeling of separation from Krishna in the role of Radharani. Because Nagari means enjoyer. So Gauranga Nagari means that Lord Chaitanya is the enjoyer. So therefore, he's Krishna, you know, like that. It means they have Lord Chaitanya and then Gadadhar as Radharani. So when we have Gaura Gadadhar, it is, yeah, it's Radha and Krishna. But Krishna's in the mood of Radharani. Radharani's just there assisting. So it's not that they're manifesting an exchange of conjugal affairs. But they have it that they are. And then they being assistants of Radharani, so naturally, it just gets weird. So our mood of Lord Chaitanya is service, servitorship, because he's taking the mood of Radharani. We're servants of Radharani. We're not friends of Radharani. Unless someone is. But.
Now here we can see very clearly that all these Sapasampadayas don't follow the Goswami.
Sorry?
These Sapasampadayas don't follow the Goswami, and therefore they have created some different
Yes.
They don't follow.
Well, that's why we don't care about them. We're not, you know, we'll deal nicely. But that's why we don't get very close with them and pick things up from them and stuff they do. Like, you know, they always hang out in Radhakund and pick up all kinds of stuff from them. But, you know, those are caste Goswamis or this or that. And so it's just, we just don't get involved like that. You know, because you see, the Acharyas, how they mentioned what you're going through. You're following Vaidhi, this and that, from sadhana, then you get to Rag. You get, you know, from Rag you get to Prema. And so then, but they have their own methods. They create their own methods, their own meditation, their own things. So we're not interested. You can say, "Oh, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur and that they used to give like that," because they talk, but they're just talking about you at that level. So previously, before someone generally, you know, people were following the Vedic standards, so they'd be following all the aspects of Vaidhi, but they'd be doing it generally for karma or jnana. And then occasionally, then someone would become interested in pure devotion. Then they would surrender. But when they're at that point of surrender, they don't have all these attachments because they've been following all these things. They've given them up. So basically, they're already starting, you know, at the Madhyama platform. Right? And then moving forward. We see very nicely they're moving forward. So the stages that he's talking about and all these things, those are natural, but they're at those positions that Rupa Goswami and Prabhupada and the Acharyas talk about. It's not that they were down at a lower level and now Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Sakura shoved them up to a higher position and making them harder to get at. No, they were always at that position. Just people were more qualified before. You know, so that's all. So, you know. Four kinds of devotees are the receptacles of the four kinds of mellows in love of God. This is text 42. Namely, servitude, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love. Each kind of devotee feels that his sentiment is the most excellent. So that's the point. It's whatever it is, you'll feel it's the best. Because for you, it is the best. And thus, in that mood, he tastes great happiness with Lord Krishna. But if we compare the sentiments in an impartial mood, we find that the conjugal sentiment is superior to all others in sweetness. But the point is wherever you're situated, you'll feel it's the best. So that also solves the problem of what if we're in one mood, what if we want to switch? You won't want to switch because it's the best anyway. Srila Prabhupada. No one is higher or lower than anyone else in transcendental relationships with the Lord. For in the absolute realm, everything is equal. But although these relationships are absolute, and there are also transcendental differences between them. Thus, the transcendental relationship of conjugal love is considered the highest perfection because of its intensity is greater. So they're all equal because they all are giving pleasure to the Lord, but the intensity in that is different. So therefore, it's the highest perfection because it absorbs Krishna in the greatest intensity.
And the pure devotee, they can see the difference of intensity.
Yeah, at least if you're on a higher position, can see it. The lower one, not. But they seem to appreciate. And he says, like you see, Bhishma Dev on the bed of arrows. You know, at the very end, he's talking about the glory of the gopis and their full surrender. Because any devotee will consider that I'm not actually that surrendered, even though he is. But at the same time, as everybody can see by comparison, that the surrender of the gopis is even more than they're performing in their pastimes. Right? Because if you take that whole Dwarka scene, the best devotee in Dwarka is Uddhava. Uddhava went to Vrindavan and could appreciate that the gopis are the best. So naturally the word gets around. Right? You know, so it's not that they don't know. And so they're appreciating. You know, he was. You know, you have the appreciation of the damsels in Mathura when they go on the roof when Krishna and Balaram come in there. They're talking about how special it is. They're just getting to see him. So the thing, how special it is, the gopis, they get to dance with him. So they can appreciate, but it doesn't change their rasa. Just like you're, let's say, doing whatever you're doing, you can appreciate someone else and they have some, you know, seemingly better facilities or this or that, but you're happy with it when you are. So that's the thing, is the transcendental position, it's all equal, but at the same time there is differences. It's one, but it's different. To say it's just different is wrong, or to just say it's one, that's wrong. It's one, but there are differences. Okay, text 45. Increasing love is experienced in various tastes, one above another. But that love which has the highest taste in the gradual succession of desire manifests itself in the form of conjugal love. Footnote 28. This is a verse from Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 2.5.38. So coming up. Right, because we're on... Oh yeah, we're on 1.4. So yes, a little bit more. Yeah. Therefore, I call it Madhura Rasa. It has two further divisions, namely wedded and unwedded love. There is a great increase of mellow in the unwedded conjugal mood. Such love is found nowhere but in Braja. This mood is unbounded in the damsels of Braja. But among them, it finds its perfection in Sri Radha. Her pure, mature love surpasses that of all others. Her love is the cause of Lord Krishna's tasting the sweetness of the conjugal relationship. Therefore, Lord Gauranga, who is Sri Hari himself, accepted the sentiments of Radha and thus fulfilled his own desires. Right? So he tastes the sweetness of conjugal relationship with Radharani. Because, see, it means the conjugal has that aspect of that completeness. And the point is he being the complete Godhead, from there she's the complete Shakti. So only she can actually make him taste the sweetness of conjugal relationship. Otherwise, the others, there'll be that formality to some degree. That's why you see us in Braj, then they all bring themselves in line with Radharani. Then Krishna himself comes to fulfill his own desire to taste that which she is tasting. Because he's tasting what is there to interact with her. But her affection, her taste is greater than his, so he comes to taste that taste. Srila Prabhupada. Of the four kinds of reciprocation of loving service, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya, Madhurya is considered the fullest. But the conjugal relationship is further divided into two varieties, namely Swakya and Parakya. Swakya is the relationship with Krishna as a formally married husband, and Parakya is the relationship with Krishna as a paramour. Expert analysts have decided that the transcendental ecstasy of the Parakya mellow is better because it is more enthusiastic. Yeah. This phase of conjugal love is found in those who have surrendered to the Lord. Right? So does that make sense why? Yes, because it's more enthusiastic. Because then when it's married, then you have the thing is that it has a 50-50 aspect. So depending upon how it's dealing, then that's how you respond, and these and that. That's the basic principle that's there. But the point is the enthusiasm is greater. That's why the principle of illicit sex is avoided, because there's more enthusiasm. It will distract one so much more. So that if one's married, then it'll have a workable distraction. One can function within it. So that's why then it's there. In the spiritual world, it's not a problem, because the point is, here it distracts us from Krishna, there it doesn't. It's about Krishna. So, yeah. This phase of conjugal love is found in those who have surrendered to the Lord in intense love, knowing well that such illicit love with a paramour is not morally approved in society. Right? So it's not that you don't have the social system there and people talking dharma and follow your duties and all that. That's there. And despite that, they're still interested in pleasing Krishna. The risk involved in such love of Godhead make this emotion superior to the relationship in which the risk is not involved. Right? Because in Dwarka, there's no risk. Because they are married. But in Vrindavan, they're not, there's risk. So you always have to, you know, sneak out in that. We're not talking about, you know, you have your own studio apartment in New York and you live on your own and your family is, you know, 500 miles away in Ohio or something. Right? You know? We're talking that you're living there with the family and the husband's there, his parents are there, the other wives are there. All, you know, it's a whole scene going on. And still you have to go. Right? So it just increases the enthusiasm, increases the intensity. Right? Yes.
I think Jiva Goswami in Gopal Champo and some other of his works, he reconciles, because he had disciples both, Swakya and Parakya.
Yes, yes.
So he explains all the intricacies and from the tattva point of view.
Yes, yes.
So it's all there.
Yes, yes. The point is that they're Krishna's eternal Shaktis, so they're eternally married as Shaktis, but for the taste, for the flavor, then they're putting on the drama as if they're not. And in that way, then they can buy it. But they're only then appreciating that maryada aspect. You know, the performance of duties. So yes, okay, so they're doing their duties and all that. But they won't appreciate the taste of the parakita. Because they're, like you said, they're viewing it from tattva, not from rasa. It's not that it's not true in that way, but the point is that's why Yoga Maya is controlling it. Because who is Krishna's lover? Who is Krishna's parent? Who's Krishna's friend? You know, means he's God. He is everything. So, yeah. Like that.
And if people challenge us, we have the answer.
Yes, 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 we do. We do. That's the fun point. We have all the answers. They have some questions, but we have all answers.
Yes.
Yes, 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 yes. The validity of such risk, however, is possible only in the transcendental realm. Right? In the material realm, it doesn't have a validity. Swakya and Parakya conjugal love of Godhead have no existence in the material world. And Parakya is not exhibited anywhere in Vaikuntha, but only in the portion of Goloka Vrindavan known as Braja. Right? Does that make sense? So we have... So here, that's a very, very subtle point, because we have Goloka Vrindavan. And when we say Braja, it's in Goloka Vrindavan. But Goloka Vrindavan also includes where there's the part and where the Swakya. But it's not necessarily in the aspect of marriage, but they're together all day, there's no separation and everything like that, so it has that flavor. You know, so they don't have to go away from the houses, they're always together. So Nivritta?
Nava Nivritta Nikunja, they don't
say. Nava Nivritta Nikunja, yeah. So that's so it's also Goloka Vrindavan. And then you have Goloka, then the whole thing, or also Krishna Loka. Or Goloka and then Gokul. So Gokul means that part of Goloka is Braj. Some devotees think that Krishna is eternally the enjoyer in Goloka Vrindavan, but only sometimes comes to the platform of Braja to enjoy Parakya Rasa. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan, however, explain that Krishna's pastimes in Braja are eternal, like his other activities in Goloka Vrindavan. Braja is a confidential part of Goloka Vrindavan. Ever seen this? I mean, you know, it's one of those who's read it, but it doesn't mean anything. Krishna exhibited his Braja pastimes on the surface of this world, and similar pastimes are eternally exhibited in Braja in Goloka Vrindavan, where Parakya Rasa is ever existent. In the third chapter of this epic, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has explicitly accepted the fact that Krishna appears in this material world at the end of the Dwapara age of the 28th Chatur Yuga of Vaivasvata Manu and brings with him his Braja Bhumi, which is the eternal abode of the highest pastimes. As the Lord appears by his own internal potency, so he also brings all his paraphernalia by the same internal potency, without extraneous help. It is further stated here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the Parakya sentiments exist only in that transcendental realm and nowhere else. This highest form of ecstasy can exist only in the most confidential part of the transcendental world. But, by the causeless mercy of the Lord, we can have a peep into that invisible Braja. That's the never gave any. It is giving what's never been given before. Right? Because others make Vrindavan, but not this portion of Vrindavan. Right? The transcendental mellow relished by the gopis in Braja is super excellently featured in Srimati Radharani. Super excellently. Mature assimilation of the transcendental humor of conjugal love is represented by Srimati Radharani, whose feelings are incomprehensible even to the Lord himself. The intensity of her loving service is the highest form of ecstasy. No one can surpass Srimati Radharani in relishing the qualities of the Lord through this supreme transcendental mellow. Therefore, the Lord himself agreed to assume the position of Radharani in the form of Lord Sri Gauranga. He then relished the highest position of Parakya Rasa, as exhibited in the transcendental abode of Braja. Then, Text 51. Lord Chaitanya is the shelter of the demigods, the goal of the Upanishads, the be-all and end-all of the great sages, the beautiful shelter of the devotees, of his devotees, and the essence of the love of the lotus-eyed gopis. Will he again be the object of my vision? Then, next quote. Lord Krishna desired to taste the limitless nectarine mellows of the love of one of his multitude of loving damsels, Sri Radha. And so he has assumed the form of Lord Chaitanya. He has tasted that love while hiding his own dark complexion with her effulgent yellow color. May that Lord Chaitanya confer upon us his grace. Footnote 29. Text 51 and 52 are respectively Pratama Sri Chaitanyastika 2 and Dvitiya Sri Chaitanyastika 3 from the Stavamala of Srila Rupa Goswami. To accept ecstatic love as the main reason he appeared and re-establish the religious system for this age. I shall now explain that reason. Everyone, please listen. Having first given hints about the verse describing the principal reason why the Lord appeared, now I shall manifest this full meaning. So up to now he's been hinting at it. Quote, the loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna are transcendental manifestations of the Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, they separated themselves eternally. Now these two transcendental identities have again united in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I bow down to him who has manifested himself with the sentiment and complexion of Srimati Radharani, although he is Krishna himself. 55. Verse 5 of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this is the first fifth verse. Right? Yeah. Radha and Krishna are one and the same, but they have assumed two bodies. Thus they enjoy each other, tasting the mellows of love. 56. Srila Prabhupada. The true transcendentalists, Radha and Krishna, are a puzzle to materialists. It's interesting. True transcendentalists. The above description of Radha and Krishna from the diary of Srila Srupa Damodara Goswami is a condensed explanation. But one needs great spiritual insight to understand the mystery of these two personalities. One is enjoying in two. Sri Krishna is the potent factor, and Srimati Radharani is the internal potency. According to Vedanta philosophy, there is no difference between the potent and the potency. They are identical. We cannot differentiate between one and the other, any more than we can separate fire from heat. Everything in the absolute is inconceivable in relative existence. Therefore, in relative cognizance, it is very difficult to assimilate this truth of the oneness between the potent and the potency. The philosophy of inconceivable oneness and difference propounded by Lord Chaitanya is the only source of understanding for such intricacies of transcendence. So, these fine, fine points only a Chintabheda Veda Tattva gives access. Because the point is you have this point of they're one, but they're different. Right? And so, that's the thing. But they're not. It's not force, it's a natural thing. It's their desire. And so, yeah. In fact, Radharani is the eternal potency of Sri Krishna, and she eternally intensifies the pleasure of Sri Krishna. Impersonalists cannot understand this without the help of a Mahabhagavat devotee. The very name Radha suggests that Srimati Radharani is eternally the topmost mistress of the comforts of Sri Krishna. As such, she is the medium transmitting the loving entity's service to Sri Krishna, right? So, since she is the one that is eternally the one who's giving the mistress of the comforts of Sri Krishna, she's the medium that all other living entities render service to Krishna. Their service to Krishna, that devotion comes up through her to Krishna. Like that. So that's why Rupa Goswami, in some place in Nectar Devotion, mentions she is the only devotee. Everyone else is servants. Devotees of Vrindavan therefore seek the mercy of Srimati Radharani in order to be recognized as loving servitors of Sri Krishna.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki,
Jai
Nitai Gaura Premanandi.